Born and raised in Alaska, he finished the 1,100-mile Iditarod Trail sled dog race when he was 18. Worked hard, partied hard. He even attended church regularly, but his life was empty until God transformed him. And then everything changed for him.
Let's go!
From coaching in South Africa to leading a dynamic church in Alaska, God continues to change him today. Now, he's serving you with a driving passion for spiritual transformation. It's time for 180 with Carl Claussen. Your life, a new direction.
The funny thing is, we think it won't happen to us.
Yeah.
Maybe we're immune to it. Maybe we know too much about the scriptures, so we don't think that we can get led astray from and by false teachers. Now, we're going to talk about this today because there is something profound in 2 Peter that we have to get. Not only are false teachers real and false teachings real, I'm just going to call it this. How do we stay out of kind of the weeds of whacked theology? And I'm going to have George Koch on here in just a couple of moments, but we're going to be talking about good theology and good processes of sanctification. That's dynamite. But the question is, how do we stay away from being at risk to get sucked into something that's going to lead us astray? And I'm going to illustrate this by small group experiences that maybe you've been in the past. And we're going to go right to the Word to understand how to stay out of that. Not with a spirit of condemnation, but just wisdom. How do you stay clear of that? I want to welcome you. This is 180. My name's Carl Claussen. I'm your host. It is so good to have you with me. I'm genuinely humbled. The more I'm doing this, the more God's really touching my heart. I don't know how best to describe that except to say that I'm really sensing God doing a neat work in me. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you because you're sharpening me, making me think more rigorously. It's good. It's a great gift. If you want to connect with me, I'd love to connect with you. Go to kc180.com. Follow me on Facebook or Twitter, kc180.com. Join the ride. I'd really love to have you there. Also, if you got a comment or question anytime during this show, give us a call, 847-956-5042, 847-956-5042. Let me forecast for you a little bit about this hour. It's going to be fun. There is a profound article out on sex trafficking that deals with the symptoms that is, it is laser beam. This is a woman that spoke to a group of Christian leaders. Some of the language is so heavy duty, I think we're going to have to literally tail it back, but she is graphically honest and profoundly spot on. I think you're going to really enjoy this. Also, do we pull weeds? We're fertilizing the grass. It's coming up on spring, and what kind of spiritual principles can we pull out of that? Well, we're going to have a full hour here, and let's just jump right into it. A man that I love, and you're growing to love, his name's Dr. George Koch. He's the author of What We Believe and Why, this great little book that we're walking through. We've been dealing with the issue of sanctification, and nothing more reveals that we're growing strong in Jesus more than learning to live and love like Jesus lived and loved. Let me bring him in. George Koch, he's the pastor of Resurrection Church in West Chicago, graduate of Church Divinity School and King's Seminary, and I've got him with me right now. George, good to have you with me today on 180.
Carl, it's a delight, as always.
Ah, love your heart, and this is in your wheelhouse. When I think of living and loving as Jesus did, I think of George Koch. I love your heart. I love your tenderness. I love your passion for the things of God and the people of God. And there's some instant questions that come to my mind because I think of just simply, how in the world would Jesus live in a media age like this, in a mass market age like this, in an age where community is more about kind of coming and going from small groups that are exchanging knowledge than the very thing that he lived in that day? Would he live differently? Would he contextualize it? What do you say, George?
Well, I think there's no question but what he would contextualize it, but I think he would care as little for the opinions of people today as he did then.
Okay, so translated, what's that mean? What would he get attacked for, and what would he care a little about? Let's just be that bold.
Well, I think he would get attacked for calling sin sin, for telling people that what they're doing is wrong when it's wrong, and for calling them to repentance and to being forgiven and to forgiving others. And I think those things that he named as wrong, many of people in the culture today would describe as rights.
Yeah, Francis Frangipane is a guy that I've read before in the book Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God. I'm literally doing this from my heart here. He said something profound that knocked me over. He said that Jesus came to condemn hypocrisy and to save sinners. And the church today has that flipped around. Don't we, George?
We do.
And what are we going to do to turn this around? I mean, we're taking a little bit of a sidestep here because your book, What We Believe and Why, is going through the theology of things. But this is the outworking of sanctification, isn't it, George?
Well, it is. And the key here, just to camp on the word theology for a moment, is it really sort of means God talk. Loosely translated. And the whole idea of theology shouldn't be philosophical propositions that we debate in a hall called lectures about God. Theology really should be talking about how we get closer to God, and what we ought to be doing is looking for the hall where God is and where we meet him and encounter him and are transformed by him and by his holiness. Very different from lectures about God.
Okay, so in the Christian culture that we live in today, I had a friend once coin this phrase. He said that what we're creating is knowledge brokers. We come into rooms and we're exchanging what we know with each other rather than what we really know of God personally. How do we change that, George?
Well, the first thing, it's sort of like addiction. It's to acknowledge that there's a problem and that we have sinned. And I mean, sinned in the sense of sin isn't just doing something wrong. The word actually means to fall short of the mark.
Yes, it does.
And we can fall short of the mark in ways which are not sort of explicitly doing something wrong. And one of those ways is to spend our time talking about God and not spend our time having a living relationship with God. There's a huge difference between the two.
All right, you're a man, you're an Anglican pastor. You've studied the mystics. You've gone through all the ages of discipleship. You've seen fads come and go. Give it to my listener. How do we move from talking about God to talking about a relationship with God in a theological, meaningful way?
Well, I can give you a couple examples, and there are many from Scripture, but a couple right offhand. One, Jesus said, where we meet him is in those that we serve, those in jail, those who are hungry, those who are poor. When we serve them, we serve him. And so that encounter with the living God, Jesus, the Son of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that encounter with him comes not just in prayer in our closet, but it comes in our loving the person in front of us, the one who is in need, as we often are in need. But that very act of loving is relationship with God. Jesus says so.
Is there a season in our life? Because I think a lot of people go through kind of movements, as it were, spiritually. As someone listening right now feels like, oh my goodness, I'm processing pain. I am so aching right now. Do you say that there's a season when we linger at the feet of the Savior, or do we both linger at the feet of the Savior and serve? And I'm really curious about this because there'd be a couple different takes on this. What say you, George?
Well, I think the short answer is we linger at the feet of the Savior when we serve. Much of the world, you know, sees the gospel differently than we do in the West. And those who have been to the poorer reaches of the world where Christians are involved know what I'm about to say. Those of us who have only been sort of in the West, it's a mystery to us. But in the West, we tend to divide the gospel into salvation and social action.
That's right.
And It seems largely the salvation portion of that is owned by the conservatives and the Orthodox in the church, of which I'm one, by the way. And we know how important it is for people to come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And the social action seems to be owned by the liberals in the church, and never the twain shall meet. Now, I'm caricaturing this, but I'm drawing the contrast in order to make a point. When you go to Africa, as an example, living the gospel, which means living out the results of my salvation by loving and serving others around me, is completely, completely integrated. The idea that those two, the salvation and service, could be divided strikes a person, a Christian, living and serving there in remote areas of the world as incomprehensible, absurd. When I tell them that it's often that way in the West, they look at me like I've lost my mind. They can't understand how those two are divided. So one of the real keys here to living and to having a loving relationship with God really comes about through our serving. And the truth is that when I'm hurting most, serving someone else is the balm that heals my hurt.
That's right on. My guest right now, Dr. George Koch, author of What We Believe and Why. Insightful, accessible, plain spoken, a little feisty. That describes it. Boy, is it. Okay, George, this is so good, because this is the Apostle Paul, isn't it, that said, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. This isn't just some wingnut promise. This is the life of discipleship, salvation, and sanctification wedded together.
It is. That's the covenant that we have with Jesus, that he promises salvation, and then he recruits us to be a part of the healing and the salvation of the world. It's not that we have to be good in order to be credited by him and accepted. He says, just trust me, and your sins are covered. But now that you've had your sins covered, let's look at those who haven't been, who are still lost, who are still in need. Now I want you to go with me. Let's go out and reach the rest of them. So the two must follow from each other.
I am deeply passionate. I want to be a part of a third great awakening in our nation. Has there ever been an awakening in America or in the world that was without this living and loving as Jesus did?
No, because that is the very fire of it. It's the repentance first for the ways in which we have fallen short of what God really calls us to. And out of that repentance comes the fire of God, the presence of God. And that fire is unmistakable. You can see it from a mile away, and it draws others into his presence and into his healing.
How do we stay out of cookie-cutter service kind of ideas, and how do we have an expression that reflects our gifting rather than somebody who wrote a book's gifting, or somebody in the church that I've seen and I love what they do, their gifting?
Well, probably the key to that is to realize that with one exception, all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit described in Scripture are not for the benefit of the one gifted, but for those that they serve. And probably a good image for that is, imagine that it's Thanksgiving Day, and you have a feast at your table, and you realize that the 86-year-old widow who lives next door has nothing. And so you and the family gather up some turkey and some dressing and some Jell-O and some dessert, and each of you carry a portion of that over to the neighbor. Well, the one who's carrying the Jell-O shouldn't be jealous of the one carrying the turkey.
Sometimes it's the other way around.
It doesn't make you greater than the other one.
That's right.
The whole point is to carry the food to the widow.
Yeah. That's profound stuff, George. That really is. Well, that's exactly what we're doing here. What You Believe, What We Believe, and Why is the name of the book that we're walking through. My guest has been Dr. George Koch. George, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks so much, Carl.
Profound stuff again. Up next, sex trafficking. Let's go to the root of the problem and not skirt around the edges. Got a profound article. I'm going to bring Jasper in for this. We're going to hit it next. 180 with Carl Claussen. Your life, a new direction.